coming soon to own on video and DVD.
In a world where one man has seen every movie, there's one woman who's seen hardly any. Together, this unlikely duo must review all the best films she's never seen. Starring Jack Spade as the hero we didn't ask for.
No, I get it. I've smacked a guy with a log of bologna before.
And Leanne Foster as the damsel who doesn't know shit.
Oh, the font! It's so good!
Huntsville Home Video. Now playing.
Welcome, my friends, to another episode of Huntsville Home Video. Every now and again, we show Leanne, my friend, my host, my movie literate chum, some movies that she has never seen in an effort to expand her cinematic knowledge.
Right.
And then every now and again, we do one of these just for me.
Yep. And today is that day.
And today is that day.
I really don't even want to talk today. I just feel like you should just go.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm fine with it.
So I might.
I'm sure the dozen would like a break.
No, that's nonsense. They loved you so goddamn much last week. We got so many comments on social media.
Oh, nice. That thing I don't look at anymore.
Like the TikTokers were loving your raw dog in a plantain talk. We got some folks that are down for our kitchen podcast, Huntsville Home Kitchen.
Oh, that's awesome.
Found out we were talking so much last week about Cuban sandwiches. That restaurant in town that I told you about fucking closed down.
R.I.P. I never got to go.
Oh, man, you're missing out.
Well, that's your fault.
Well, one of our bakers, Dustin, was going to go. And because after we were talking about it, like, fuck yeah, I'm going to go get one of those Cubans. And then shot me a picture of a shut down restaurant opening as like a Mexican restaurant.
Aww,
eventually down the road.
Man. Yeah. Is that a turf war thing?
Maybe. Maybe. It could be.
Maybe we'll so.
Have to look into that.
Damn, RIP. That sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're keeping it sad today. We're
going to find the laughter where we can.
Where we can, yes, because last week, one of my childhood heroes passed away, Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. Dude was a legend. I will tell you some tales about that man today, Leanne.
Okay, I bet you will.
So if you're not a fan yet, God damn it, you will be. So we're going to talk about that awesome voice actor, about the movie Batman Mask of the Phantasm. We're going to talk about that as well. Do you, because I know it came out when you were very wee, like itty bitty.
A wee child
of maybe one or two.
Yes.
But do you have any recollection of the Batman animated series?
Yes, because I watched it all the time as a kid. Put in here, I was like, of course I don't remember a lot of it because I was young. Like, this movie came out in 93. I would have been 3 years old. But I remember watching this Batman because I was like, oh, this is my Batman. Like, just his look as soon as they came on screen, I was like, oh my gosh, I remember this so much. Those fucking white triangle eyes in that suit. And I was like, oh my God, it's my Batman. So like, after I watched this movie, I started watching the series a little bit.
Did you?
Because it's on HBO Max.
Yes.
But this was like this fucking Batman's on point. And like, this was when Warner Brothers was freaking killing it back in the day, right? I remember watching this a lot as a kid.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But
I don't remember this movie.
Okay.
But I remember watching the series.
Because, the series came out, it would have been like 91, 92.
Mm-hmm.
So just to give you some context, because I thought about this and I was like, how do you convey to someone who wasn't there how amazing this show was at the time?
Uh-huh.
And I think I have the story to do just that.
Okay.
So 91, 92, this is a year, 2 years after the Batman movie with Michael Keaton.
Okay.
So Batman has taken over the world at this point. That movie made, by today's standards, like adjusted for inflation, billions of dollars, like Avengers Endgame level money, right?
Wow.
Everyone was going to see this movie, lines around the corner for weeks on end. Batman mania was an all-time high.
I'm about to ask a question that I know is going to get me hit, but there have been several actors who played several different ones.
Yes.
This is the one with What's his face is the Joker?
Jack Nicholson. Yep.
Okay. All right.
Yep. Michael Keaton, Jack Nicholson. Yep. Huge, huge movie. And then they announced shortly after that, hey, Batman the Animated Series is coming. We're like, oh shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a child of that time,
right.
I was like,
you're what, 8?
Let's see. 91, I would have been like 12.
That's right.
11, 12. And it was announced, and then we got looks, like we got little teasers on Fox because it was a Fox show.
Mm-hmm.
We got little commercials for it. Little ads would appear in like comic books and things like that. And I'm like, this looks legit. It looked like no other cartoon at that time, mm-hmm. right? And it drops, and it was fucking amazing. Like to a 10-year-old, it wasn't quite as cartoony as, say, a Transformers or a G.I. Joe. It was a little more almost adult in nature.
Yeah.
The animation was better. Mm-hmm. The storytelling was better. Just captivating, right?
Right.
So about a year into this show, a friend of mine has his birthday party at this place called Sparks Amusement Arcade in Fargo. It's okay. Long since gone, right? But it used to be this arcade. It had video games. It had pinball. It had bumper cars, mm-hmm. skee ball. It was like a better Chuck E. Cheese, right? So my buddy has his birthday party there. We all go to the birthday party. We're, you know, fucking around playing some games for a minute. But at 3:30, Batman came on. Every kid in this party, every other kid in the building stopped everything to watch. There was like 7-8 TVs in this place. Every kid sitting watching Batman the Animated Series. Fuck these video games.
That's amazing.
They'll be here for my quarters when we find out how Batman takes down the Riddler this week.
Yes.
That is how awesome this show was.
That's amazing.
To a fucking 10-year-old.
That is the perfect story that you could have used.
Like, so good.
Like men watching football. That's so fucking great.
It is so great. Like fast forward years later when I'm a DJ at a strip club on a Monday night mm-hmm. and dudes are watching football instead of strippers.
Right.
Like they've replaced Batman with football. I just kept Batman in my life.
You just kept Batman.
And strippers.
That's
but whatever. So yeah, and then over the years, the show, it grew and evolved and it changed into different things, and Batman moved into different properties and different cartoons. But one thing that never changed was Kevin fucking Conroy.
Right.
The voice of Batman. Mm. God damn, he was so good.
Like I said, watched it when I was a kid, when I don't think about the voice or anything like mm-hmm. that. But going back to this movie and the series, I'm like, damn, that mm-hmm. sounds like Batman.
And for 30 years, he never, like there were projects and stuff that came along after the animated series,
mm-hmm.
but they were few and far between where Kevin Conroy was not a part of it. There was a Justice League cartoon. Kevin Conroy, voice of Batman.
Mm-hmm.
DC, like Warner Brothers started making DC animated movies, like these, you know, really super good, dark, like straight to video DVDs of different stories from mm-hmm. the comic books that just would never get adapted into live action movies.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Conroy was a part of most of those. When Kevin Conroy was not in them, that movie probably fucking sucked. Like to the point of like it was not a great movie, and the internet also tore it apart. Like, where the fuck is Kevin Conroy? They announced a Batman video game, Arkham Asylum, which is one of the greatest video games of all time.
Okay.
Kevin Conroy as the voice of Batman
in that game.
It is so awesome. Like he fucking loved the character, loved the fans, loved playing Batman for 30 fucking years.
That's a hell of a commitment.
Right?
You know?
And a lot of actors, so like look at live action actors who have played Batman. No one's really done it for a certain, you know, for longer right. than a certain like 2 or 3 films, mm-hmm. right? Like Michael Keaton had 2 runs. Val Kilmer 1, George Clooney 1, thank God. Christian Bale had 3. But they always, like at a certain point, you know, it's like I'm interested in pursuing other things. I want to go on and do this or right. do that or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But like Kevin Conroy was like, no, I'll be Batman forever.
Yeah.
Like this is amazing. Like he got into it when he first got the role. This is a pretty famous story. He was a theater actor, and a lot of theater actors at that time would start getting into voiceover because it was you know, a very popular thing. Like, celebrities hadn't taken that field over yet, mm-hmm. which is another story which saddens me, and we'll get to maybe today. But so Kevin Conroy got into voice acting, and he was offered an audition for Batman. And he looked at the parts, and he looked at the characters, and he was like, you know, he knew nothing of Batman other than, like, Adam West's campy 60s Batman.
Yeah.
And so he said, I really like the script. It's like, it's you know, wild that this is going to be a cartoon, but I'm really interested in the character of Harvey Bullock, who's like the police sergeant mm-hmm. who's, you know, not in every episode. He's like, I think this guy has maybe a more interesting character arc. And the guy wow. running the show is like, Kevin, you know, if you get this role, you'll be in every episode, right? I mean, money talks, right? And he like ended up taking the role, obviously, and he started diving into it and looking more into it and looking at all the subtext and all the nuance. And he's like, oh my God, like, yeah, there really is a lot to chew here. And like for 30 years, like the dude became a Batman fan.
Right.
Like, and then he saw the fans' reaction. He's like, oh fuck, this is the best life ever.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Like, that's hard to find where people have that and then they embrace it.
Right.
For as long as he did.
Because you can see, now we've talked about this before. You've not been to a comic convention or anything.
Right.
We're going to change that this year, though. We're gonna get you to one.
Well, we got to do the smell test.
Yeah. But you can tell who's there for a paycheck mm-hmm. and like who's there because they fucking love being there.
Right.
And Kevin Conroy loved being there.
Aww.
Like, he was precious.
Aww. That's... Do you want to have a good cry?
Kind of. Like, kind of.
How many times did you meet him?
Just once.
Just once?
Just once.
Wow.
And in that conversation, he told me a thing that I've been fucking living on.
Oh.
God damn it.
Jack! No! Jack's pain. Come back.
I'm back.
I didn't mean for you to do it for real, but, like, I'll cry with you. Like,
it's all right.
Like...
No, he was just like, he was so fucking cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's super amazing when you are a kid and you grab onto something and you hold on to it and they really do become our heroes.
Yeah.
Like, they really do. So
no, he was super cool, man. Like, he would, you know, everyone that shows up, they're like, we're going to be here from this time to this time.
Right.
And then they move on and they fuck off. They do something else.
And it breaks your heart. It breaks your heart.
I mean, kind of.
Yeah.
But then, you know, like Kevin Conroy was like, you know, they always have these handlers or whatever. They're like, okay, we need to be at this time. We need to be at this thing, mm-hmm. you know, do whatever. And he's just like, you know, give me 10 minutes, guys. We got some people here, you know,
right.
Like he would like if so many of the guests at conventions, they'll stay behind the table. You know, you take a picture. It's like you leaning back against the table and then the dude, you know, or the chick just sitting there or whatever. Kevin Conroy would get up from around the table. He'd hug his fans. He'd like high five hands,
wow.
you know, like super engaging with them.
He wasn't
just like signing an autograph and like moving them on. He would ask questions.
Right.
He would like if he would see cosplay, he'd be like, oh, my God, how'd you do this? What'd you do there? And so like. When I got to meet him, I was just like, dude, you know, huge fan, like love what you have done in the world of voice acting.
Right.
Like it's spectacular. And he's like, oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I was just like, yeah, dude, like I've been in radio like most of my life. And I'm always like picking up on, you know, how people say things and like listening for stuff like that. Like I'm fucking dog shit, you know, on the air, man. But like, I do what I can, you know, I try to make myself sound better. And he just stops and like, he's looking at me while I'm speaking to him. And he like kind of cocks an eyebrow. He's like, you have an amazing radio voice.
Aww.
Done. Fucking done.
That's amazing. That's so nice.
Like I'll have to.
He heard you. I saw your picture.
Yeah. So look at that picture again.
Uh-huh.
And then look at these eyes and look at those eyes. Cause I was crying my fucking eyes out. I've been living off that compliment since 2015.
As you should be.
Yeah. I was like, huh. And like, I could not speak.
Right.
And he just gave me a big fucking hug.
Right. Oh, God damn it. That's so sweet.
So fucking cool.
That's so, you know, and to be that successful and be that good and then Like, he heard you. Like, he listened, he heard you, right. and was genuine. Like, that was a genuine thing that he said to you.
Yeah, just a good fucking dude.
Yeah.
Like, no one has a bad word to say about Kevin Conroy.
Right.
Even after he passed away, like, everyone's flooding social media with their, like, thoughts and everything. Not a negative one. Like, no one was ever like, well, you know, I met him and he was fucking dickhead. Because, like, you'll always have those people that, like, whenever, like, a celebrity of some regard passes away, they're always like, eh, but he was a fucking dick to this person, or he did this thing, or he said some things about the Jews.
Right.
Yeah, it's always something. But no,
we can't say anything about them.
No, Kevin Conroy was the man, and he was so cool and so beloved, and like one of and this is a story that he told, you know, to kind of give you an idea of like who he is and how important he is. So he would tell a tale of, you know, like after 9/11, he's like, you know, what happened on 9/12? You know, everyone just like came together and, you know, this and that. And like, I'm a native New Yorker and I did what I could, you know, and I was like, I was working in soup kitchens and I was like, you know, pouring, you know, making up plates of food and like helping the first responders and this and that, you know, and there's no cameras around. There's not, you know, like no one's doing it for the publicity, you know, like people are just here to work, to help their fellow man.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, like 3 days into this, a guy comes up to him and he's like a fellow volunteer or whatever. And he's like, hey, man, you know, my name is Bob. I'm in construction. Like, this is, you know, what it is. Like, what do you do? And he's like, oh, like, I do voices mostly. And he's like, I fucking knew it. You're goddamn Batman. And he kind of laughs and he's like, yeah, you know, I'm the voice of Batman. And this guy goes, guys, I fucking told you it's Batman. And from the kitchen, he just hears bullshit. And he's like, do it. You got to do it. And so from the line at the soup kitchen, there's Kevin Conroy just going, I am vengeance. I am Batman. And the whole kitchen's like, holy fuck. And this dude just like the applause and everything like smatters down. He goes back to cooking his, you know, making meals or whatever. And the guy's like, dude, what does it feel like to be Santa Claus? Because that's what you gave these people today.
Yeah.
Fuck, such a good dude.
Damn. That's awesome. Well, I love that I'm getting well-versed in Kevin Conroy.
There you go.
I'm sorry I didn't before today.
That's all right. I'm sorry I called you a cunt last week.
No,
but now you know why.
Why would you be upset?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Now I totally understand why.
Right? Now you get
it? I knew it was probably deserved last week. It's no big deal to you, girl, Lily.
But yeah, man, like when he passed away, that hit me harder than I thought it would.
Yeah.
Like,
it hit you harder than I thought it would. I didn't know I was getting this today.
but I mean, like I said, 30 years of playing a character. Like, you've not actually read a comic book, have you? Have never? So growing up, like reading comic books, you would always try to put a voice in your head. Mm-hmm. Like, what does this character sound like? What does this character sound like? You get more backstory about them. You realize they're from a certain part of the world. They maybe have a certain dialect. You try to put a voice into their head.
Mm-hmm.
To this day, I will pick up a Batman comic book, and that's the voice I hear in my head. And many people have said that. Many people have, like, this is the voice. This is my Batman. This is the best Batman.
Right.
Whenever anyone's like, oh, who's the best Batman? Like, is it Christian Bale? Is it Michael Keaton? No, motherfucker, it's Kevin Conroy. Hands down.
I am reminded that that will be my answer from now on.
All right.
Because before it was just, Christian Bale's breathy Batman.
Well, and even Kevin Conroy was the first one to give Bruce Wayne and Batman different voices.
Different voices.
Like, he changes the inflection. Like, mm-hmm. You definitely hear that over the series. You're like, oh, fuck. It was much more subtle than Christian Bale's, like, opposite.
Where are the drugs coming in? Jesus.
Stop breathing on me, bro.
Yeah, but dude, you're spraying it. Just say
just
it.
Spray it.
God, just spitting at me, bro. Come on. Fuck.
Oh, man. The
But yeah, so I thought today we would pay some respects. We would also show you a movie that you would never seen. I'm glad it was able to kind of give you some of that nostalgic bug for the animated series.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get into it. Let's talk about what some consider to be the best Batman movie of all time. And let's see if now you hate it and just undid all that emotion that just came out.
Even if I hated it, I would totally lie about it.
I don't want that. I want the real.
No, this would break us if I hated it.
No.
Thank God I don't hate it.
Okay. All right.
That's great. This is a great movie.
Wasn't it though?
Freaking awesome. I just love, and again, like the series, like I love how it's a cartoon, but it's dark and adult.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. And I love that animation, the look of it, how the city looks and the cars and the gadgets and the vehicles. Like, it's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that Art Deco style.
Yes, me too.
Like the, you know, the whole Gotham City vibe, mm-hmm. like the vehicles.
I was like, ooh, the font.
The font.
I'm such a font nerd. I'm like, oh, the font. It's so good.
I love that we are at a point in life where we can start gushing over fonts.
Oh, yeah.
That's a legit.
If you know that was accurate, you know me on my couch, I was like, oh, that fucking font.
Sploosh.
Yep. Yeah. So,
somewhere a professional writer, their critiques, their criticisms of the movie is like, I mean, the font was spectacular.
The plot didn't go anywhere, but that fucking font, chef's kiss.
That font is amazing.
That fucking F-O-N-T, son.
Jesus.
Yeah, no, it was super great. I love the story. I loved watching it. I fucking love the Joker in it, too. I forgot about Mark Hamill being the Joker.
Let me tell you how a nation of collective 10-year-olds' minds burst
mm-hmm.
when they found out that Luke Skywalker was the voice of the Joker.
Joker, yep.
Holy shit. That started out as, because, again, you have to remember back in at this time, 92, there are no internet chat rooms. There's
no social media.
Advanced
There's
spoilers, you know,
shit.
Nothing like that. We just, like, hear this cackle, this fucking voice of the, and you're like, holy shit.
Uh-huh.
And then someone says, yeah, that was Luke Skywalker. You're like, bullshit.
I can't do both.
That's it. Like, we attributed that until we actually got concrete proof. It's like somehow that joke or that urban legend about Marilyn Manson.
When he removed his ribs.
Yeah. Like,
also, who started that?
Fuck, I don't know.
How did that spread like wildfire in a day and age where, what?
It sure did.
It did.
And it, like, we held that in the same regard as, like, that ain't Luke Skywalker,
right.
Bro.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would go back and rent Star Wars and listen to Mark Hamill and try to then go back listen to the Joker. I'm like, not the same dude.
Well, didn't you just read the credits and see that it said Mark Hamill?
Well, yeah, but I was just like, it's a different Mark Hamill.
Right. Like, there's probably like one L.
Other people can have the Mark Hamill name. Like,
right.
Other people are
it's
named
a common
Mark
name.
Hamill. Yeah. But then, you know, then like comic book magazines would come out and it's just like, yep, it's that Mark Hamill. And you're like, holy shit.
Isn't that wild?
That's fucking insane.
Uh-uh. He can't be in two big franchises.
Right?
That's insane.
But then as you grow up and you look at other projects, like Mark Hamill basically just has the Joker voice. Like, he's in a lot of other stuff and like he's playing a character, not the Joker.
Oh.
And it's just lower different inflections of the Joker. And you're like, that's disappointing.
Right.
I mean, his Joker's fucking banger, though.
Right. But, you know, he doesn't have range.
Right. Not as much. But, I mean, still good. Still great.
Yeah.
You know, and he would go on to do the Joker in a lot of things, too. Like, mm-hmm. he bounced back and forth with Kevin Conroy on a few projects.
Nice.
Throughout the years. And it's like those two were super tight.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Mark Hamill is the Joker. Fucking wild.
So good. So good. I really like this movie. It made me super happy and nostalgic
mm-hmm.
for sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I love that it's on HBO Max and all of the animated series
yeah.
is on HBO Max. So I like after before Mask of the Phantasm and after, I'm just like, I was going to binge watch this entire fucking series. Mm-hmm. And like over the last week have done so.
Don't you miss when cartoons were like that, when they were more adult?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like, I don't feel like that's the same anymore. But like, back in the day when you would watch a cartoon, it had adult themes like that, but it wasn't too over the top, or they were darker back then. Like, I loved it. I loved the Gargoyles. Remember
yes.
that one? Like, I loved stuff like that, and you don't get stuff like that anymore.
No, it was a rare time in animation where, you know, because in the 80s, cartoons legitimately were just toy commercials.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can even go back now and still watch my beloved Transformers. And after a certain point, I can only watch so many in a row before you're just like, I mean, this is really a fucking toy commercial.
Right.
It's like, hey, there's the new character, fucking Nightbird. Check her out on toy shelves next week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, G.I. Joe would do that. You know, all the big shows of the 80s. And then some, like in the 90s, you got shows like Batman, the animated, Gargoyles, another great example. There's the X-Men, the animated X-Men was super mm-hmm. good in that same kind of regard that like, this is like more adult than it should be.
Can we just acknowledge that the 90s was the best?
I mean, hands down.
The 90s, they were amazing.
Yep.
R.I.P. to the 90s.
R.I.P. to the realest decade. The realest.
The realest of the real.
God damn, do I miss the 90s. Whoo, boy.
Oh, so you want to get started?
Let's get into Batman Mask of the Phantasm.
Man, I love that we start out at the Shady Lady. First of all, it's a great name. Second of all, it's a cartoon. It's an animated movie, and we're at the Shady Lady.
Yep.
It's fucking great. And Chucky Soul, I love the names of everybody in this, and his men are meeting about laundering counterfeit bills through their casino when the meeting is interrupted by the Batman. And he takes care of those guys. He's like flipping tables and shit, crushing them. And then Chucky Soul escapes and he goes to the parking deck and is encountered by the Phantasm.
Ooh.
He's like a big Grim Reaper, kind of. And he's got a mask that kind of looks like Mick from Slipknot. I was like,
oh,
did you
shit.
Copy the lines
yeah.
there?
All
I was
right.
like, oh, that's what it looks like to me. He's got like a blade for a hand, which is freaking nice.
Such a great look for a character.
He's an awesome look. The Phantasm is a super cool look. And he's got like a fog that follows him,
yeah.
which was awesome. And bullets just seem to kind of go through him.
If you could walk into a room just flanked by fog, would you do it every time?
100%.
100.
I would never tone it down with the fog.
No.
People would be like, hey, Lily, can you not do so much fog? And I'd be like, I'll fog up whatever the fuck I want.
Yeah. Get the fog out of here.
Get the fog. So fucking stupid. That's going in the front. So, bullets seem to go through this thing, and he tells Chucky Soul, your angel of death awaits, and he makes him drive his car off of the parking garage and into the next building, which is super cool.
Being the voice whore that I am, fucking Stacey Keach is the Phantasm?
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
You're not familiar.
I don't know who
Stacey?
That is.
Oh, man.
Do I know who that is?
You probably do.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's he hosted Unsolved Mysteries for a little while after Robert Stack.
Oh, if it's after Robert Stack, I don't give a fuck.
Well, I mean, there is that. That's also true. But he's done voiceover for like a lot of that true crime murder porn shit that you love.
Oh. Okay. They don't look familiar. He doesn't look familiar. Does he? Oh, I know that guy.
Yeah.
He's from Savannah, Georgia. What? Twilight? Twilight Zone. Sorry, excuse me.
Yes, vastly different.
This guy? Wait, this actor guy?
Yep.
I know that man.
Yeah, that's the Phantasm.
Mike Hammer, Private Eye, American History X. Is this the same person? Wow. No shit, I know who that guy is.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so sorry that I said forget about, what's his name?
Stacey Keach.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. Well, I learned something. Anyways, so the car goes off in the parking garage. The people below think that it was the Batman who did this because he was there at the scene of the crime, right? So Congressman Arthur Reeves begins a campaign against the Batman because he's an asshole. And he says that the vigilante has gone too far, right? So we've got that brewing in the background. Then there's a party at Bruce Wayne's, and the ladies are trying to get themselves a fucking billionaire,
God
man.
Damn you thirsty bitches.
Ooh, they are thirsty.
I love how one of those dumb whores is just like, you know, you know,
with
it's like, yeah.
Engagement.
Oh, don't talk about the M word marriage around Bruce Wayne or right. The I word. The I word? Engagement. Oh, you dumb whore.
I literally was like, I bet she used to dance while Jack played music.
Yeah.
So it doesn't do anything, though, for old Bruce. He doesn't take advantage of his current situation because we learn about an Andrea in our first of 100 flashbacks in this movie. We do get a lot of blurry screen
there is a lot of that.
He meets her in the cemetery. So we do a flashback. We meet Andrea. Bruce Wayne meets her in the cemetery. She's talking to her dead mother. You know, it's just how every romance starts.
I mean, yeah, it's storybook.
Right. So they kind of get to know each other. And then this is where I thought, that the flashback ends. I wasn't picking up on visual cues because then it's Bruce Wayne interrupting a robbery, but he's not in his Batman suit. He's
right?
in his
yeah.
like just in like a ski mask and dark clothes. And I was like, is this because the congressman is wanting to us to get rid of Batman? And then I realize, oh, this is still the flashback. He's becoming Batman as he meets during the time he met Andrea.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now I see what was going on.
I'm glad you were able to follow the goings on of a children's cartoon.
I got a little confused. I thought we jumped back. I thought we were just going to do one flashback scene. I didn't realize there were going to be multiple.
No, we kept that flashback going.
We kept it going because then later on, then it blurs again. And you're like, oh, yes, that was part of the flashback.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Yes. So he's becoming the Batman during the time that he met Andrea. That's our timeline here. And we can see that she can handle like jujitsu and she's a tough cookie. And we see Bruce kiss her at some point, and then we're back to the present because we got blurry again. So then we have Mr. Bronski, another gangsta, who visits Chucky Soul's grave only to end up crushed by a large angel statue in an empty grave by the phantasm. Creepy, like in there with the fog in the cemetery and like pushing him into that empty grave. Like it was super good.
Yeah. Where do you stand on a cemetery at night? You fucks with it?
I don't think I've ever been to a cemetery at night, actually, but I would go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wouldn't freak you out.
I mean, I jump easily. I'm a jumpy person, but I would still do it.
All right.
That's why I go to haunted houses all the time. I'm like, let's do it.
That's fair.
All yeah. Right. Have you been to a cemetery at night? Like, is that a jam of your era?
Of my era?
Like, I feel like 90s kids were like, let's hang out in a cemetery at night.
Yeah. No, I don't think I've ever spent any amount of time at a cemetery after sundown.
What's the big one, with the playground that's supposed to be haunted?
Like the Dead Children's Playground?
Yeah, that one. Yeah. But what's that? That's not... Is that Myrtle Hill? No. I had a Myrtle Hill, but I can't remember if that's here or if that was in Rome where I lived.
No, it's a Dead Children's Playground here in Huntsville.
Yeah, so that cemetery, I've walked in that cemetery and like looked at the graves and stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's cool out there.
In like
but
daylight?
But in the daylight.
Okay.
Not at night.
Everyone knows like spooky shit doesn't happen in daylight.
Right. Ghosts sleep during the day.
Yeah.
Like we know that. Like we know that.
Yeah. They can't come
out of their grave unless it's like dusk.
No, they work third shift. Come on.
We all know this, bro.
Yeah.
It's canon, bro. It's
common knowledge.
If you don't know that, you're a fucking idiot.
True story.
So anyways, Bronski's boys think that it's the Batman that killed Mr. Bronski because of the similar build, and they just see it walking away in the fog, and the cape is going. So they obviously think it's the Batman. So, meanwhile, Arthur really wants Batman punished for all of this, which is interesting that he cares about these gangsters who are being offed by the Batman, supposedly. Hold that little nugget of information for later.
Squirrel that away.
Meanwhile, the commish ain't having it. Is it the commissioner? Yeah.
Commissioner Gordon, yeah.
Commissioner Gordon is not having it. He knows that the Batman, and he knows the Batman doesn't kill. So we got one guy on his side. Thank goodness. You always got to have one guy.
It's always one guy, and it's always Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah. And literally, when I saw him on screen, I'm like, that's fine, but he's no...
He's no Gary Oldman.
Mm-mm.
I mean, that's true story.
I'm like, I'm pretty sure he should look more like Gary Oldman.
that's accurate. I mean, hands down, the best Commissioner Gordon, Gary Oldman.
You know.
One of the things that, not to sidetrack us too far.
Oh, but please do.
Okay. One of the things that happened over the 30 years as Kevin Conroy as Batman is eventually, like, people would start coming up to him at comic conventions and stuff like that. And they would, you know, they would have Batman comic books and they would say, Kevin Conroy, this is my favorite comic book, Batman comic book. Will you please read this panel? And yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
So, right. He would do that shit. But then when The Dark Knight came out and it was like bigger than fucking Jesus, there is video. You can find this of the voice actor that plays Commissioner Gordon. And Kevin Conroy reading the end of The Dark Knight, where Batman is telling Commissioner Gordon to, like, frame him.
Yes.
So, like, imagine that scene as read by Kevin Conroy.
Oh, that's cool.
Fucking dope.
It would be all like this, would it?
It was not.
It was not.
It was, you'll hunt me, you'll chase me and condemn me. I killed those people. I can be what Gotham named me to be.
Sounds exactly like that's how I remember it in my head.
Yeah,
that sounds exactly like it. Damn, that would be amazing.
It's super cool.
I'll have to find that. So the Batman starts to investigate what's going on because he finds the same chemical residue at both crime scenes, which is what's making the fog. Yep. Right. So then, while he's doing that, he comes upon Andrea back at the cemetery talking to her mom once again. And Andrea sees Batman and puts it together that it is Bruce Wayne, right? So Andrea eventually has dinner with the ever-persistent Arthur when she has a flashback. This is number 20 in our flashbacks of Bruce meeting her father, Carl. Now, Arthur used to work for Carl, and during this meeting, it's cut short by Sal Valestra, which is a good name.
We got good game. Like, throughout the whole run.
Chucky Soul, of Bronski.
Yeah. For this movie and for the series, like, all the gangstery henchmen have just fucking money names.
Fucking great. So Sal Valestra comes in, and it cuts the meeting short. He's a shady, smoky motherfucker. And so outside, Bruce interrupts yet another robbery, but he kind of loses this time, right? He doesn't win the fight. But that's when he begins to design the bat suit. So we see that. And then he pleads to his parents' graves. This was sad. He was like, things have changed now. I'm happy. I want to have a normal life. Please forgive me and let me not pursue this vengeance. Right.
No.
I was like, damn.
No, we're going on the path of vengeance, son. That's the only way to go.
Yeah. But I love that. And it's like, isn't it raining and the lightning? And like, it was just so good.
Oh, yeah.
It was a great scene. So then we're still in a flashback. We haven't gone blurry yet again, right? We're still in the flashback. Or maybe this is another one, but he proposes to her eventually. And I love when he's on the grounds with her and he proposes to her, and then as soon as she accepts, the bats fly out of the cave.
Uh-huh.
I was like, oh, that's so good.
That's some symbolism right there.
That is some symbolism. Oof.
Nah, you're going to be a bat, son.
Mm-hmm. You will always be plagued by this.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
In a different Batman story, Batman Year One, it was a comic book. They also made it an animated movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bruce Wayne is like putting together the persona of Batman. And he's having this like monologue with himself, and he's kind of like talking to the, you know, to no one, but he's kind of like talking to his father, like in his head or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And he's sitting in like a big empty room in Wayne Manor, and he's like, "What will I do, Father? What will I do?" And a bat comes crashing through the window and just starts flapping in front of him, and he's like, "Ah, yes, Father, that's what I'll do. I will be the bat."
Ooh.
And I'm like, "That's fucking awesome." And it was one of those things where it's like, you read it in a comic book, you're like, man, I hope Kevin Conroy says this one day. Uh-huh. And he fucking did it. He fucking did it.
He did that shit.
And I heard it.
I synced it. I synced it with my own eyes. Oh, shit. So They get engaged. Shortly after getting engaged, though, Andrea sends the ring back.
Bitch.
She mails it back to him. No explanation. And says she's leaving with her father. She's too young to get married and for Bruce to forget about her. So then that's when he decides he will become the Batman. That's his only choice.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a logical step.
Yeah.
You know?
It is. Like, well, option two's gone.
Yeah.
Let's go back to option one.
Like, well, no no jujitsu loving redhead. I guess I'm going to fuck up bad guys.
I guess I'll just fight people.
And I think he made the right call.
I lost out on Vagine. I'm just going to fight motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eventually, you know, some leather clad hoochie in a cat suit will show up and I'll bang that.
Yeah.
You know, I'll attract some crazy supervillain bitches.
No problem. Yeah. We're good.
Break some hands in the process. Like, much better choice.
Yes.
Yeah. You had the choice to be married to some chick or be Batman. Be Batman.
Be Batman.
100% of the time.
Yeah, you should always be Batman.
Yep.
So now we go to current day. We have gotten the blurry cue. We're back to current day. I have to pay attention to my blurry cues. And Valestra is still around. He's wheezing. He needs oxygen. And he talks with Arthur to ask questions about the murders, knowing that Batman will come after him next, he believes, because we kind of see it as research goes on that these men are connected in some way, right?
Right.
So he goes, Valestra does, to the rundown World's Fair, which is Joker's lair, or his little playground.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how amazing is that? Because we see what the World's Fair looked like when Andrea and Bruce are on a date or whatever. You know, you get on this cart and you zip through and you see all this these technological advances. And then now it's just a rundown. No, it's just gross.
It's Detroit.
Terrible. It's yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Like, oh,
yeah.
Look how great things are going to be in the future. Right. Fast forward to the future.
And then they're not. No. Mm. So, yeah, basically, he goes to Detroit to meet with the Joker. And the animated Joker is fantastic. Like, he is delightfully off his rocker.
Uh-huh.
Like, and the voice goes so great with it, too. So he goes to the Joker, and he says that the Batman is knocking off these mobsters. He'll eventually get to me. He'll eventually get to you. So Valestra offers him $5 million to take care of the Batman. And I love the, what am I, pest control? I was like, that's funny. That's good. So he agrees to do it. Meanwhile, Bruce talks with Andrea, and we find that Carl, her father, set up a corporation that connects all these mobsters. So we get that information. But Andrea says she doesn't know where her father is. So he's kind of a loose end over here. Perhaps a red herring? We shall see. Meanwhile, the Phantasm visits Valestra, and I love how this looks when he goes into Valestra's home and he pulls down the newspaper. Valestra's already dead by one of the Joker's toxins or whatever, right?
Yep. Yeah, he's got basically
he's like all scrunched up in the chair.
Yeah, big grin on the face.
Uh-huh.
That's a staple of Joker shenanigans in mm-hmm. in the comic books and in the series. He's got like a Joker gas that just gives people a fucking evil Joker smile, kills them.
It's amazing.
They die laughing.
That's great. And then he's holding a camera, which the Joker talks to him through, and he sees that it's not Batman. It's this other thing, this Phantasm, and then tries to blow him up, but the Phantasm escapes. When he escapes, Batman is nearby, and then they have a chase, and Batman chases him until the Phantasm just disappears. I needed an explanation of the Phantasm's ability to disappear. I need to know what these chemicals are. Like, do we ever get this later? Do we ever figure out how the Phantasms?
I mean, in the same way the Batmans.
I mean,
ninja training.
I would say fighting is a little different than just being able to disappear, but whatever you want to say.
Ninja vanish, smoke cloud, vanish, illusion.
It's all an illusion. Oh, gosh. So we have like four precincts that are after the Batman. They spot him. There's an explosion. They obviously think it's the Batman. And they have him pretty well cornered in a construction site until He sets off. That was an awesome diversion with his cape.
Yeah.
That he sends. Like, he sends out the grappling hook, and it makes it look like his cape's gone, but he has taken off his mask and cape. He's running, and luckily Andrea is there conveniently to save him.
Very convenient.
Very convenient I did not pick up on.
I was just going to ask, like, at this point, were you just like, okay. Because I, like, even when I go back to watch this movie as an adult, and I was like, how did I not pick up on the fact that, like, spoilers are going to be coming? But I was just like, oh, because you were a kid and stupid.
Nope, I was an adult and stupid. Hey. Apparently, I can't even keep track of flashbacks. And I was just like, I was like, who is it? It's the dad. He's disappeared, and it's the dad.
Like, you're just sitting there, like, just taking your notes, like, trying to connect dots. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, it could be this guy.
But I'm that Sunny in Philadelphia meme with Charlie. Yep. Who's Pepe Sylvia? I'm like, who's the phantasm? It's just pictures of Carl. Yeah.
Is the phantasm really the Joker? How did the Joker meet the phantasm then?
It all has to do with this picture right here. Oh, and then I don't understand what it means.
And then this redheaded dame just shows up out of nowhere.
Obviously not a big deal.
No, that can't mean anything.
Yeah, no, I just was like, at the end, I was like, oh, really?
And then there was me, like, again, having seen this movie many times, years after the fact, watching this last night, was just like, oh, yeah, they really lay it out for you, don't they?
They do, yeah. So we get then another flashback, and this is where I finally was like, oh, is that Joker outside the door? It was.
You got that one.
I was like, oh, yeah, I got that one finally after the second try or whatever, after you've looked at the photograph millions of times. So in this flashback, we see that her father, Carl, Andrea's father, Carl, owed money to these gangsters who were part of this corporation, right? And he promises them, this was the meeting that was going on after Bruce and Andrea got engaged. And he says, in 24 hours, I will have your money. The European banks will open. I will have your money. No big deal. But he was just stalling them. And he tells Andrea, we have to leave. We have to get out of here, and makes Andrea send the ring back. And he eventually tries later to pay the money back, but these gangsters want blood. So her father creates the phantasm. This is what Andrea says, to get rid of these guys. And that's why Andrea came back into town. And I'm like, this all checks.
Yep.
This all checks out.
Okay.
I totally believe your story, ma'am.
Yep. 100%. I am on board.
I am on board.
I understand and I believe everything at face value.
I will take every word you said at face value because I have no deductive reason. Then Andrea and Bruce, they play a little suck face and they have a nice morning and then that's it.
Play a little suck face.
So they're back on, right? Okay. So Bruce then finally connects the dots, just like I have previously, that the Joker is in the photograph of these men, this corporation that he found. So he realizes that the Joker is in on this whole thing. So while Joker is playing a visit to Arthur to tell him it's not the Batman. It's not the Batman who's doing this. I got the guy on camera. And then he gives Arthur the laughing toxin. Is that the correct? I don't want to misterm these things.
You don't want to misrepresent. What
is it? Is it a laugh tox? Like, what is it?
I mean,
does it matter what it's called?
It's been called different things in different mediums.
Okay. I just want to make sure that I'm right. I don't want to get in trouble today.
You're good.
Today's not the day.
No, you're good today. You're on point today.
Which sends him into the hospital in a laughing fit, which was fantastic. But between the laughs, he's able to tell Batman that he helped provide funds to Carl while he was in Europe, right? But when Arthur asked Carl to fund his campaign for office, Carl refused. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay. So because of that, Arthur sold Carl out to the bad guys and got money from the gangsters.
Son of a bitch.
That slimy motherfucker is just like every other politician out there today.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Are you going to sit there and tell me that politicians are crooked?
I do have deductive reasoning, and I say they're crooked.
They're crooked?
They're crooked.
Crooked. Okay.
They're crooked SOBs.
Yep, that's a fact.
That's true.
In Batman and in real life. Batman tried to teach us so many lessons.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So Batman goes to Andrea's for clues and luckily avoids almost being blown up by the Joker. And then we get our 200th flashback of the movie. Things go blurry. And it makes it look like Andrea's father is actually dead and that the gangsters actually got to him and killed him after he was sold out by Arthur.
Uh-huh.
I was like, still didn't put it together.
Well, faked his own death and he's the Phantasm.
Exactly. That's where I went with it. I was like, he's not dead though. He's the Phantasm.
The old faking your death trope, eh? Not pulling the wool over my eyes, salesman.
Yep. That's where I was at. So we get out of that flashback. We go back to the Joker's lair, which is, I never mentioned this before, but the robot lady, I love him with the, so when you're driving through this World's Fair, like there's a robot lady who is chopping vegetables, right? In like the state-of-the-art kitchen, which is now run down, except she still chops. Like all these years, she's still chopping with her knife. And I fucking love the Joker. Like he'll just slide bologna under the knife so she can slice it and things. And he's like,
give her a little smack on the ass.
He did. Like, smacked her on the ass. And he was like, so are you feeling the electricity tonight? I was like, you fucking weirdo. I love it so much. He is delightfully off his rocker. It's so great.
And in the different mediums that he has portrayed the Joker, Mark Hamill, like he can actually put like a more sinister spin on the Joker if the situation requires it or whatever. But he's done some really like, whoa, this dude is fucking evil Joker. He's done like in this, he's more kind of like just wackadoo, unhinged, zany Joker.
Uh-huh.
So it's like to Mark Hamill's credit, even though he does that voice a lot, he can play with his Joker and spice it up. Yeah.
Nice. I loved that when he smacks her on the ass. I was like, so, so good. So he's visited by the Phantasm. And this is where we get the big reveal that the Phantasm is actually Andrea. Shocker. I know. I was totally shocked.
What was your actual reaction?
I literally was just sitting there and I was like, wait. What? And then I went, oh, all those clues. I should have like picked up on it. But I was just like,
Oh.
They red herringed me. And I went for it.
Yep.
And then I was like, they didn't even do that. Like, they totally laid it out that it was.
I mean, they even gave her red hair. She's a red herring. Fucking goddamn. I should have seen it.
I should have seen it coming a mile away.
Goddamn.
She was conveniently there. She was conveniently not. It was. I was shocked. I feel so stupid.
My favorite part about this sequence is like after the reveal happens, Andrea starts fighting the Joker. The Joker just grabs a log of bologna and smacks her in the face with it.
And that was like the biggest injury that she got. Yeah. Like they fought and like they're on the table where the bologna is and the knife. And instead of going after the knife, he goes after the tube of bologna.
Yep.
And just flop.
There's me going, oh, I get it. I've smacked a guy with a log of bologna before.
Okay, that's going at the beginning. It's that one.
It's that one.
It's the log bologna joke. Let me just write that down there. Sorry, remember. Jack, log, bologna, bitch's face. Shit, yeah, that was great. He also calls her Smokey the Babe.
Yep.
Which was great, too. I liked that as well. But how he tries to get rid of her, he turns on a plane engine, and he tries to suck her up into the plane engine. I was like, oof, what a death.
Yep.
Oof. And right at the last minute, Batman saves her. Thank goodness. And then she has to confess to the Batman. And then he has the audacity to ask her, what will vengeance solve? Like, motherfucker, what do you think?
Bro, come on.
Bro, that's like your life's mission now.
Like everything?
Like everything, bro. What are you talking about? So he tells her to leave, and she disappears.
An illusion.
And then Batman fights the Joker. And so as part of this World's Fair, there's like a Gotham. It's like a like a replica of Gotham City, right? And so they look like two Godzillas in there just fighting each other. Like they're taller than the buildings. It was great. So they fight there. The Joker sets off like these small helicopters, which slice Batman up pretty good. Their blades do. And then the Joker tries to escape with a jetpack, because I would assume that the Joker would have a jetpack.
Hell yeah.
That would be his mode of escape
any day. If I was the Joker day one, I would acquire all of the jetpacks.
All of the jetpacks. Mm-hmm. That is how that motherfucker moves around.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So luckily, Batman is able to run, get him down to the ground last second, and then Andrea comes back. And she goes, one way or another, this ends tonight. And then she grabs the Joker and she disappears. An illusion with the Joker. Not only does she disappear, but she and the Joker disappear. And then bombs start going off because all of the tunnels underneath this World's Fair were filled with bombs. I forgot how much the Joker loves bombs.
Oh, he sure does.
He's the big bomb guy. I forgot about it. We haven't seen that in, Jared Leto didn't really do bombs, did he?
Jared Leto didn't really do anything.
I specifically brought that up just for fun.
If we're being honest here.
No, he didn't.
Not only did Jared Leto fuck up the Joker, he couldn't leave well enough alone. So then he moved over to a Marvel property and fucked up Morbius. Leave comic books alone, Jared Leto.
Now, I haven't seen the movie. But do we blame Jared Leto or do we blame the bad movie?
Yes. We blame Jared Leto.
Really?
It's not a good movie to begin with. And Jared Leto definitely doesn't help anything. Matt Smith is in it, though.
I like him.
And he understood the assignment. Like, he knows the movie he's in. Matt Smith makes that movie. Like, whenever Matt Smith is on screen, that movie is entertaining.
I feel like that guy's underrated. I feel like I should see him more.
100%.
I feel like he's good. Mm-hmm. I need to watch. He's in House of the Dragon, isn't he?
He is.
He's and I really need to watch it. And every time I see him, I'm like, God, I need to watch that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's good at what he do.
Okay. So they disappear. The bombs start going off. And I think I did look away for 1 second. And then all of a sudden he was in the sewer. So I'm assuming a bomb went off and he jumped into the sewer. He was blown into the sewer, right?
It happens. It happens twice a week if you're Batman.
Exactly. So he gets out and he's safe, right? And he goes back home. And he gets a good talk from Alfred. We haven't mentioned Alfred yet in this movie, but
good,
I love
good him. Fucking Alfred.
Alfred, he's a good. It's a good Alfred. Mm-hmm. It's a good one. And he gets a good talk from Alfred, and then he sees something shiny in the Batcave. What could it be? Mm. Oh, he goes over. And it's Andrea's locket. It's the locket that she wore that had a picture of her and Bruce together. Aw, she left it there for him. That's very sweet.
That's super sweet.
And then that is the end of the film.
And then you know what happens after this film? Batman is still being Batman.
Yeah.
He doesn't lose his girlfriend and then be like, I can't be Batman anymore.
Thank you. I don't need that.
No.
Pussified shit.
Fuck you, The Dark Knight Rises. And to get my jab in there.
Is that the one with Bane?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I recently just watched that one for the first time, and it was
It was trash.
I hated the whole, and that whole time we spent there trying to do that fucking jump out of that tunnel and all that fucking bullshit. I'm like, what the fuck is this? And I'm like, oh, he repaired his whole fucking body after having his back broke.
If you think about this, they told you the same story in that movie twice, because Bruce Wayne is too injured and hurt to be Batman until he's not. And then he gets injured again and he's too injured and hurt to be Batman again until he's not.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Had Tom Hardy in it, though.
I mean, Tom Hardy was dope.
Tom Hardy always dope.
100%.
Mm-hmm. But we're not talking about that.
No.
We have just finished talking about Batman.
We have
Batman.
Wrapped up Batman, Mask of the Phantasm. And I loved, I don't know if you caught this, you watched it on HBO Max, did you?
Yes.
They put a little in memoriam.
Yeah, they did it right before the movie, which I thought was, in fact, I wrote that down here in the beginning of my notes, but I moved on. But yeah, I thought that was really great.
Yeah.
And on the series, too, they did the same thing, too.
I was like, oh, fucking well done, HBO. Good on you.
Mm-hmm. It was
Pay
a great photo, too.
Fuck yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was Batman, Mask of the Phantasm.
Yeah. I really like it.
Glad it delivered.
It made me very, very happy. It's a good watch. If you've not seen it, it's a fantastic watch.
Where would you rate it on the list of Batman movies, like live action or animated? Where would you put it? Because you've probably not seen them all.
Well, I've not seen them all, granted. What have I seen? What? Two Christian Bales. I've not seen any Ben Affleck. I saw the Michael Keaton one, so that's three movies. Is that it? Is that all I've seen?
Wow.
I've not seen... Okay, so who all played Batman?
So Michael Keaton did Batman and Batman Returns.
Okay, I only saw that one. Okay. One of the movies.
Val Kilmer did Batman Forever.
Nope. No George Clooney.
George Clooney would... Fuck, that movie was awful.
Was that the Tim Burton one?
No, Tim Burton was Batman and Batman Returns, the first two. And then Joel Schumacher did Batman Forever.
But is that the one where he had nips?
That was Batman and Robin. And Joel Schumacher did that one, too. Oof. So the quick version of that story goes, Batman Returns was so fucking dark and kind of twisted that the movie like Warner Brothers kind of got in a lot of trouble. Like McDonald's was like, this is too dark for kids. We can't put this shit in Happy Meals. Like, we're not selling this shit. We're not like, fuck you. Like, scared a lot of kids. Like go watch Batman Returns and be like, whoa, this is kind of violent.
That's the second Michael Keaton movie.
Okay. It's got Danny DeVito as the Penguin.
Oh, that's the one.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Michelle Pfeiffer is Catwoman. You got Christopher Walken is one of the kind of the bad guys in that one.
He's not the Riddler?
Not the Riddler.
Damn.
That would be... He'd make a fucking fun Riddler.
Wouldn't that be a fun... If you were doing a more fun...
Yeah.
You never thought of that before?
No.
Wild.
Nicely done, Foster. Good on ya.
Yeah.
So Val Kilmer was Batman Forever, and that had Tommy Lee Jones as Two-Face, Jim Carrey as the Riddler.
Oh.
Which basically was both of them playing the Joker. Like
they
played them both as the Joker.
Okay.
That movie was better than Batman and Robin. Batman and Robin, the closest I think I've ever come to walking out of a movie.
And that's the one with George Clooney.
Oof. Yeah. Big oof.
Damn.
You ever want to watch a piece of shit?
Kind of want to watch it now, to be honest.
Oh, my God.
I feel like I need a Batman day.
He whips out a Batman credit card at one point. I ain't even joking, bro. Batman credit card.
That's unfortunate.
And then you got Arnold Schwarzenegger in there busting out.
Freeze?
He was Mr. Freeze, yeah. And Mr. Freeze is a great fucking villain. In fact, did you see the Heart of Ice episodes on Batman, the animated series yet? The two with Mr. Freeze?
Not yet.
Oh, when those come up, those will fucking break your heart.
Okay.
Those are fucking bangers. It's like, why couldn't you have done that? Whatever. I digress. That movie was a piece of shit. And then we got the reboot years later. Christian Bale did Batman Begins.
Okay.
Had you seen that one? Or did you go straight into The Dark Knight?
Oh, you know what? I didn't see Batman Begins.
That makes sense. That tracks.
Yeah, I only saw the one with Heath Ledger.
Yeah.
Heath Ledger's Dark Knight Rises, right?
No. No, Heath Ledger's The Dark Knight.
That's right. I'm sorry. Oh, people are so mad at me. Okay, so I saw The Dark Knight and then Dark Knight Rises recently with Tom Hardy.
Yep. Okay.
Okay. So there's three movies that I've seen.
And then Batman v Superman, which isn't really a Batman movie. Justice League, which isn't really a Batman movie.
Nope.
And then The Batman with Robert Pattinson that just came out last year.
Oh, I have seen that one. I love that one.
That was good.
That was a good one.
I like that one.
Yeah. Okay. So I've seen four.
Right.
Now five. So I've got five. I got a whole handful of Batman.
I got a handful of Batman. That's my favorite indie 90s alt rock band.
Handful of Batman.
Handful of Batman.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Okay, so where do I rank it? This is really good. It's hard to put above Heath Ledger's Joker.
See,
in Dark Knight.
But you did just say something very interesting. You didn't put it above the whole movie.
I didn't put it above the whole movie.
You just put it above Heath Ledger.
But Heath Ledger's Joker in that movie makes that movie amazing.
Yeah.
It made that movie what it was, right? So if it wasn't for Heath Ledger's Joker, this would be number one. But because of Heath Ledger's performance, I will put The Dark Knight above this one, and then this one will be number two.
That's fair.
And then it would probably be Robert Pattinson's Batman.
All right.
I really liked that one.
That's good.
I like how dark it was. And then I got two movies left. Ooh. Oh. Probably then Michael Keaton's Batman, then
Dark Knight Rises.
Then Dark Knight Rises.
That's fair.
That's how I would rank.
That's a solid list.
Now, I know that probably people are mad that I didn't put Michael Keaton higher, but the movie was good, but I feel like it hit me at the, I don't know. It wasn't, I think I'm used to the other portrayals of Batman, so it wasn't, it didn't get to me. Like, I feel like if I had been of the era or younger when it came out and like it had been, it would have been bigger to me.
100%.
Does that make sense?
That's a movie that totally holds up for me on nostalgia alone.
Right.
It's not as good as I remembered it. And then when you watch it years later, you're like,
So I didn't watch it until my late 20s.
Okay.
So
I could see why that would hit different.
So yeah. It hit different for me. Not saying that it's bad, but it wasn't what I expected it to be, and it just hit different for me. So that's the only reason why it's down lower.
Well, and I love Jack Nicholson, and so I love his Joker.
Right.
You know, it's like everyone's like, oh, well, which one is better, Heath Ledger or Jack Nicholson or whatever? I was just like, well, like, the Joker always changes.
Right.
The Joker is whatever the story needs him to be. Sometimes he's a funny, goofy guy. Sometimes he's a sadistic motherfucker. Sometimes whatever. Like, I like them all.
Right.
But, I mean, fucking Jack is Jack.
Yeah.
He was basically, he got paid $60 million to be Jack Nicholson for an hour and a half.
For real, though.
Yeah.
It's like, when you break it down, it's like he was just being himself.
Yep.
He was, you know, like, any role I feel like he's ever done, it's literally just Jack Nicholson.
Yep.
Well, he's literally like the Joker. He can be whatever you want him to be, but he's still him.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, like, in Batman, yes, but, like, he is actually a very, very good actor.
Mm-hmm.
And he does lean into his nuances sometimes, but, like, there are some late model Nicholson movies that you're like, holy shit, this dude's just, like, you know, putting on a clinic, like, showing that he can still do it.
Do you know what movie I saw for the first time not too long ago?
Do tell. Very,
like, I guess within the year or maybe around a year ago, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, that's so good.
That movie broke me.
Mm-hmm. It'll
I
do
think
that.
We ever had a conversation about it. I never saw it, never understood what it was about, but I started watching the Ratched series on Netflix.
Oh, sure. Okay.
About Nurse Ratched.
Yeah.
So then I went back to the original movie, which they're obviously very different, but that movie broke me. Jack Nicholson in that movie broke me.
Won him an Oscar.
As it should have.
Mm-hmm.
As it should have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That movie is so good, but it's one of those you can't watch it a lot.
You can't. And, like, I want to go back to it because I'm like, there's so many things in there I want to rewatch again, but I'm like, I can't. I got to wait a while.
Yep.
Also, I went through half the movie until I figured out that was Danny DeVito.
Yeah. And Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah. I got Christopher Lloyd before I did Danny DeVito.
And a super fucking young Brad Dourif, the voice of Chucky. He's in there.
Oh!
Yeah.
No shit.
Yep.
Oh, I need to go watch it again and get my heart ripped out. But anyways, I say all that to say that's how I would rank my Batman movies.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, this one's
really fucking good.
That's a solid list.
Yeah.
I still think, like, I could go back and watch this movie any day.
Yeah.
Whereas.
So what's your number one?
Phantasm.
Okay.
I would say Dark Knight, but if I go back and rewatch that now, I just click to all the Heath Ledger bits.
Understand.
Whereas I will sit and watch this entire movie.
That, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I get you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then to have an entire series to go back to with the animated series, and now that whole thing is on HBO, that, by the by, is
by the by
I now have Batman the Animated Series on DVD three times, once on digital, and now on HBO Max, because they released it in seasons. I'm sorry, I have to back that up. It was one less on DVD, not complete on VHS. Like, you would get like random episodes on VHS. I have some of those. I have the individual seasons on DVD. They came up with a box set on DVD that I purchased, and that also came with a digital download code, so I had them all on digital, so I could watch them on my iPad whenever the fuck I wanted to.
Right.
And now they're on HBO Max, so it's like I got Batman for fucking days.
You got Batman coming out the ass, bro.
Yup. Yeah.
So great.
God, what is that? Was Batman coming out of my ass? God damn. See a doctor about that. Don't nobody need Batman coming out of their ass.
No, it's a rough day.
Not a good look.
No, it's not.
So yeah, there it was. Batman, Mask of the Phantasm. Give it some stars if you would.
I am going to give Batman, Mask of the Phantasm 4.5.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
This is a 4.75 for me.
Nice.
That's a 4.75 film.
Understandable.
All day, every day, coming out my ass. 4.75 stars, just cascading.
Just cascading out of
my
butthole.
Yep, out of my own personal bat cave.
Your pants don't fit right.
No.
Your own personal bat cave.
All those stars coming out. All the bats. The bat in my belfry. Well, I'm really glad you dug this one. I'm glad you were able to learn a bit more about, I hate to say this, the late, great Kevin Conroy. He was so like all of these, you know, remembrances and all these things have come out over the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. Kevin Smith had he got way more emotional than I did.
Oh, I bet he did.
He talked about that. Kevin Conroy has been on Kevin's podcast several times.
Mm-hmm.
And he would have after, you know, the interview wraps or whatever, Kevin will. And he revealed this recently. Kevin would have his guests record little greetings or whatever. And so he was like, Kevin Smith was like, yeah, I was like, when I interviewed him, I was like, I was in a spot where I was just kind of down and doubting myself. And you know, movies were coming out that weren't doing well and mm-hmm. internet was shitting on me all the time. Da, 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 da. And so Kevin Conroy basically recorded him a greeting as Batman to let him know. He's like, Kevin, you're doing the right thing. You're doing, you know, what needs to be done. And he has that right. Right. Fucking in the emotions.
That's just the nicest thing you can do for someone.
Right.
Right.
As Batman.
Now I can't see. Now everything's blurry for me. Because it's he has a talent and just uses it in the right way.
Yeah.
And just as a nice person. He didn't have to do that.
No.
God.
But and that's one of the things that Kevin Smith said, you know, is Kevin Conroy is my Batman.
Right.
You know, I hear that voice. And when I read a comic book and it's when I think of Batman, I think of Kevin Conroy. He's even got a cameo in Kevin Smith's Yoga Hosers, which is not a good movie. but Kevin Conroy just shows up with this kid at a convenience store and he approaches the counter. He's like, I need a pack of cigarettes or whatever. And they're like, they hand over the cigarettes. He's like, oh, girls, these are light cigarettes. And they're like, oh, sorry, boot that. Because they're Canadian. So they say boot. And they're kind of snarking. He's like, that's not very Canadian. And he turns to the kid. And he's like, let's get out of here, Robin.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's cute.
That was like a one little one-off, you know, oh, I got Batman and Robin in my movie.
Is that the one with his kid in it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like his kid and Johnny Depp's kid.
Yeah.
And they're like convenience store workers, and it's
right.
They're super it's just fucking not
good. It looked
good.
Dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see why Kevin Smith would need a Kevin Conroy as Batman pick me up after that.
Sure.
And he got it, so.
Good for him.
Yeah. Kevin Conroy, god damn it, that fucker will be missed.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be hard to hear another animated Batman. It's not going to.
Are they still making animated Batman series?
There's animated movies, video games, Kevin Conroy was associated with it.
Right.
You know, he was attached to projects that, you know, were coming out down the road, you know, he was at a comic convention doing a Q&A a week and a half before he passed away.
Did they say how he passed?
They said I didn't get all the details, but apparently he's been sick for a while. I don't know with what. But it was, you know, more and more celebrities are doing this, and I respect the fuck out of it. It's just
for sure
they didn't say anything.
No, and they don't need to. I was just curious if they did, but they don't need to.
No,
my god, give them some privacy,
right?
Yeah.
You know, Norm MacDonald,
yeah.
Chadwick Boseman, mm-hmm. Now Kevin Conroy. It's just fucking that takes strength right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, god damn, he was good.
We had a good day. Don't get sad. We had a good day.
No, super good.
We had a good
day. And we've got 30 years worth of shit to go back on and to you know, relive again. So, but like I said, that next Batman that comes on, we'll be like, nope.
I know.
I think the internet is going to be like,
And you hate it to be that way, but like you can't help it. You
right.
know, when somebody has become that role and been that role for that long.
Well, and it's even like I mentioned earlier, it has been, you know, people have done Batman projects, animated video game, otherwise, without Kevin Conroy. And the internet was like,
no
one will remember your name.
Damn.
Yeah.
The internet is harsh.
The internet is an icy bastard.
The internet goes hard.
Whoever takes the next voiceover role of Batman has got to have some thick skin.
Yeah.
Like, stay off the internet, delete all of your social media. Mm-hmm.
And just do your job.
Just don't reveal who that person is. Just
go by an alias.
Well, like, it was announced not too long ago that James Earl Jones signed over the likeness rights to his voice to Darth Vader. Uh-huh. So they can now create that through AI.
Yeah.
That's probably the thing to do with Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as much as I hate to say that, like, no one's going to touch that.
Right.
And you say that, you're like, oh, wow, this, like, over the years, Michael Keaton is the definitive Batman. And then Christian Bale comes, you're like, that's the definitive Batman.
Right, right.
And then, you know, so like that always changes. But for 30 years, people are like,
in this realm,
that I mean, that's fucking Batman. Like, no one's touched that for 30 years.
Right.
I think we're good.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Legend.
Yeah.
So what do you want to watch next week?
I don't know. What do you want to watch?
Let's watch some more movies that will make me sad and cry on this fucking podcast.
No more sad. I can't take it. I can't take it when men cry a little. It's a lot for me.
Ah, fuck it. I don't care.
You shouldn't care.
I am an emotional douchebag.
You passionately love the things you passionately love.
That's very true.
You know?
I do.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
So let's go a little lighthearted maybe next week.
All right.
I want something where I know you're not going to be hurt.
Okay. All right. How about this? We'll stay in the era of things that came out in the days of my youth that I loved.
Okay.
And this one I'm not too emotional about. In fact, this movie, I fucking might even go so far as say this movie that I'm about to suggest isn't really that good.
Is this another Leonard Six?
No, it's not that bad.
Okay.
It's not that bad. It's one of those movies that I loved as a child.
Uh-huh.
Like, I rented the VHS tape so many times, I think I snapped one of the copies of it that I got from Videoland in West Fargo, North Dakota.
Yeah.
It was partially responsible for my love of skateboarding.
Okay.
I abandoned very quickly after several injuries.
I was about to say, you weren't a skateboarder for long.
Not for long.
Did
no.
you skateboard or roller skate? I thought you were a rollerblader. Excuse me. The blade, not the skate. The blade. Yeah.
Roller skating is for dummies. Dummies and dweebs.
Roller skating is for girls.
I like my four wheels in a row, bitch. Side by side is for pussies. Which I'm sure is something like 14-year-old Jack said on a pair of rollerblades.
It's something that Jack of today says, and he says it as a joke, but he means it.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
No, I was a skateboarder for a little while because, like, as a kid, I was just, like, tall and lanky. I was, like, perfect skateboarding
right.
build.
Yeah.
And then I could not get control of a skateboard as well as I wanted to.
Okay.
I could just do, like, the basic fucking tricks.
I'm telling you what, right now, never been on one, and I can't tell you how they work.
Okay.
I don't understand it. I don't understand how somebody can flip a skateboard like that and then it stay to the bottom of their feet. I don't fucking understand it.
Well,
is literally, and I grew up with Tony Hawk, but I don't fucking understand.
Look here, we all grew up with Tony Hawk.
We all grew up with Tony Hawk, but I'm just saying, I don't even understand how they work.
All right. Well, maybe next week I'll give you the basic bitch lessons of skateboarding. You know, what caused me to move. I'm like, nah, fucking rollerblading is for me, sir. we'll talk about that. Like, we'll get some skateboard nostalgia for me and a young Josh Brolin for you.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I like a young Josh Brolin. I like an old Josh Brolin.
Really gets,
I like a Josh Brolin however you give him to
really
me.
Gets that basement flooded.
I mean... Yeah.
Yeah. Better
turn
call.
On the sub, the pump, whatever that fuck is, thing is there.
We gotta call FEMA. We got some water damage here. God damn.
I can't.
What a way to end the day.
I fucking can't.
Skateboarding, Josh Brolin, and splooshin'.
And splooshin'. What are you doing? Skateboarding and splooshin', motherfucker.
Oh, you must be watching Thrashin'.
Oh, Thrashin'. That's the name of the movie?
Yeah.
No G?
Nope.
No G.
Apostrophe N.
Oh, man.
And apostrophe.
This
Thrashin'.
Is going to be amazing.
It might be.
What year did this come out?
Oh, God. This must have been like 86.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
This is going to be great.
We're going to get some high fashion. We're going to get some lingo, some slang that you're like, what the fuck? It is going to be one of those things where you watch this and think of like me then and go, I get it.
Okay.
I get it. Like this movie is dog shit, but I get it.
Right.
Or maybe this movie is great, but I get it.
Uh-huh.
We will let you decide next week.
Thank you.
When we watch Thrashin'.
Fucking Thrashin'.
I did not think that we would ever get to a point where we watch Thrashin' on this podcast, honestly. But I'm not going to lie for you. I'm glad we're here.
I honestly, I don't know anything about it other than skateboard and young Josh Brolin, and I'm ready for it.
And that's all I'm going to say.
So he skateboards?
Yeah.
Oof.
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
Yep.
I mean, skateboarders are hot. You know?
Why do you think I wanted to be a skateboarder?
I mean, there's nothing like a dude in cargo shorts or pants, you know, just skateboarding.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ripping up a half pipe, doing some ollies, some kick flips.
Right. Yeah. Yep. All that shit.
All those
whatever
words
that
you
is.
Just said.
Yep. All those words that you just said. I mean, I've heard those before. I used to watch. Well, see, my skateboarder also was Bam Margera.
Oh, sure.
I watched Viva La Bam a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, we just got those carpets dried out, and now, again, FEMA, get on the phone.
Back in the day, Bam had it going on. I won't lie.
Yeah?
You know?
A lot of...
But a lot has happened since then.
I mean...
God bless him.
Oof.
God bless him.
I hope you can get your life together, Bam. You gave us so many great moments.
Come on, man.
But yeah, next week, the cinematic masterpiece.
Oh, no.
Thrashing. Oh,
the fact that you described it as that. We're going to have fun next week.
Oh, it's going to be a good time coming to Huntsville Home Video.
Thrashing.
Between now and then, you should follow us on all of our social meds. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Would love it if you followed us on TikTok at...
I thought you were going to say talk again, to be
honest.
On the talk? On the talk. It's at HSV Home Video.
I'm going to get you on TikTok eventually.
I'm not doing it. I don't want to.
You're going to get there.
I don't. Do you know what I'm mad at right now? We literally had a conversation about... Well, wait. The last episode was like... you know, me being like, I don't want this technology. And you're like, but look, Leanne, this is great. I'm like, rah, rah, rah.
Right.
Then after that, my phone did the update. And now everything, the new iOS or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
I fucking hate it, bro. I can't stand that big blocky time. My shit's all down here at the bottom. Everything looks different. I'm so fucking pissed. And I went, oh, my God, this is what Jack's talking about. Because I was like, I hate this goddamn shit. Oh, my music's down here. Oh, my text messages are here on top. It doesn't just go in a row. It just they're on top of each other.
I mean,
I can't even deal with it. I will not get on TikTok.
You're already
I can't
frustrated
do it.
Enough. You might as well just pull the trigger.
No, Jack.
Get on the talk.
This will never happen. I'm telling you.
TikTok about to drop. Tell the song to stop, or however that
TikTok on the clock. DJ, turn the music up tonight. I'ma fight till we see the sunlight.
I knew you'd get it. Baited you on that one.
I know that much, Kesha.
I hate that you know that much, Kesha.
Wake up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy.
Hot fire.
About to hit this city.
You should also follow our show sponsor, Underboss Photography, _photography. They've got some of the amazing things that Michael has going on, some of the shots that he's putting up.
You think he's ever taken any shots of Kesha?
Probably not. No.
Dang. No.
But he is on TikTok.
Is he?
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
Is he?
He is.
I guess he
For
has
real,
to be.
Though, because guess, he'll text guess... me videos that we get from TikTok that are funny, and we laugh at him, and we carry on for hours going, that was so funny. I can't wait to show Leanne.
Fucking queer.
Wow. Woo. Michael, by the way, from Underboss Photography, 100% on board with the bullshit idea we had last week of starting a Huntsville Home Kitchen podcast.
Oh, I bet he is.
Yeah.
I bet he... Oh, my gosh. Is he going to take shots of the food and
he
everything?
He said he'd even cook.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. This might be fun.
Coming soon.
I'm not good at cooking.
Neither am I.
I try really
I'm
hard.
I'm great at eating. Like,
yeah, I got that down
yeah,
pat, bro.
Fucking rock star
I got,
on that.
I got all those parts moving, no mm-hmm. problem. It's the cooking that...
hundred.
Yeah, hunted.
So, yeah, give him a follow, and we hope to see you back next week as we fire up our discussion on thrashing.
I can't wait.
Until next week, my friends, be kind and rewind.
If you were a kid back in the 90s and early 2000s, then chances are you were probably watching the animated series about the Batman. Behind every great animated hero is a great voice actor. And for me, that actor is Kevin Conroy.
How was that?
That was good, Kevin. Keep going.
Okay.
You either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain. I can do those things. Because I'm not a hero. Not like Dent. I killed those people. That's what I can be. I'm whatever Gotham needs me to be. Call it in. You'll hunt me. You'll condemn me. Set the dogs on me. Because that's what needs to happen. Because sometimes the truth isn't good enough. Sometimes people deserve more. Sometimes people deserve to have their faith rewarded.
I want you to remember, Clark, in all the years to come, in all your private moments, I want you to remember my hand at your throat. I want you to remember the one man who beat you.
I am vengeance. I am the night.